Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Good evening and welcome everybody to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Let's give a shout out first to the Almighty up in heaven, God, for allowing us to be here, especially for my family and I this week. That is very important for me. We'll get into that in just a bit. I want to shout out to my wonderful kids for this past 2 weeks and birthday weekend. Those of you who shouted me out with birthday love and love and respect and concern for my family. Thank you all for that. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. To my mom, I love you. You gave me this call this week. You kind of got me through some things that we needed to get through after this tragedy that took place. And a couple of people, to a very special guest co-host tonight, Asia, if you're listening, I'm shouting you out as well, and the little man. To Terry, who's not going to be able to join us tonight, but is always there. To Muhammad, who's not going to be able to be here tonight, but he's always a rock and solid foundation here. So Terry Banks and Muhammad Phillips, the men voices on this panel. To Kim Milton, my other rock solid woman of power, who's always doing what she can to make her community as well as our overall housing better. To Ema Cook, the coach Ema Cook on Instagram. You guys met her here through the show. You had the honor of hearing her. And to all the listeners out there, my cyber friends and fam, thank you all for what you do. Now today, guys, we are going to be getting into a very important two-part segment today about an issue apparently that has been pretty hot across the discussion boards here. And apparently, my little group has been chatting up the storm as well about the situation. But it's something all of us have either heard about, have run into, have experienced at some point. And that is infidelity. Now, today's question, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the first part of this two-part series. And we are speaking on infidelity in particular. But the problem is that when everybody talks about cheating or my partner was unfaithful, people tend to think that the hurt and the damage behind that is about the sexual act or cheating is about sex. But there's a big fluffy debate going around that is more than just the act of sex. So that's the question that's on the table tonight for all of you. And we are going to be speaking on the title, Is Sex the Only Form of Infidelity? Tonight I have a little guest co-host. She's special to me. She is my grandson's mom. She's also someone that does some very active stuff for her age bracket. And she's got some buzz going on in her age level of the community. So that's going to be a perspective that we have on here tonight. I'm trying to invite some men to tell their side of the story tonight. So take a listen. Let's start off with a little bit of a need to know from all of you so that we can get into what you guys are going to be expecting before we hit our commercial break. As those of you who have been involved with this situation from top to bottom, you guys have been aware that my family and I were in a car accident. Now, this story is being brought up to you because, A, you guys have to understand why I was off the air after just getting back on, but mainly because the situation that took place that allowed our family to be in this mess is one of the things I have been publicly advocating against and awareness for the government to start really cracking down on these violators. And now with cannabis becoming legal and all these gummies and things like that that's being so freely offered and available to the public, especially to younger kids, the car accidents have increased horribly. So this particular situation, this man not only decided that he was going to drive quickly, but he was going to drive quickly against the school zone extreme limitations, which is something on top of the already restricted area, low miles per hour in the zone, and ignore stop signs that was there, and speed in a narrow residential area. But in addition to that, he was driving from out of state with no license. He was actually with a permit. And as it turns out now that more information is coming up, that his insurance documents aren't exactly on the level, and so many other little things that took place. But he loves speed. He had more than 59 violations for the same situation. So there's a whole lot of stuff going around about this young man. However, it's never the people who commit the crimes or commit the problems that are the victims. It's always other people who are trying to avoid or think for them because they have to try to stay safe that never are. So that is a situation that has to be addressed. And everybody who has been a victim or third-party witness or third-party connection to the loss of life or some sort of restriction or damaging changes to someone's life because of other people's reckless driving, we need to really stand up and make these lawmakers really push the penalties up for people who are driving recklessly with intent. So that's one. Now, tonight we're going to be speaking on, is sex the only form of infidelity? Now, the other situation that came up this weekend was that it was my birthday. And that was something, it was a very hard birthday this year to deal with when I had just almost lost my family. And my kids, as beautifully and innocently and simplistically as they could, happened to make it the most beautiful ever. So what I would like for all of you to hear is one of the gifts that I received was that the group, my two sons that you know is the group Untitled, as you've been hearing their music, their gift was that they wrote a customized song for their mom, a birthday song that turned out to be one of the most beautiful gifts I've ever received. And tonight you'll be hearing that and then a commercial break. And when we get back, I'm going to be opening the floor for our guest host, Miss Asia H. And I'm going to be getting into this important topic, first of our two-part series. So going out tonight, we are going out with a song written for their mom called Hold Our Hand, a birthday song for mom by the group Untitled. When we get back after that, we're going to be listening to our sponsors, and then we'll be right back to start this show. So don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Demons always taught us to stand strong, always taught us to keep believing, always taught us to keep pushing on. You never let us fall down, you guided us through all darkness. Before we knew how to count, you always made sure we were breathing. You gave us a miracle, and that miracle is life. Yeah, we're forever grateful. No words can ever describe how much we love you and adore you. So many beautiful things to all of the awful. You stay hopeful, and that's all
yeah,
that
you
see.
Always give us love at our worst point. You always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for, no one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Yeah, you always gave us love at our worst point. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked.
ask for when there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Whoa.
Going through a lot, but you never let anything stop you. Even when you're dealing with the worst, you always let faith guide you. You never let pain defy you, no matter how big or small. I've seen you get through it all. You're an angel in disguise, always there when I need you the most. Yeah, chest pumped, head high, natural confidence, no need to boast. Single-handedly doing it all, no one compares, cause you were the GOAT. Devil trying to ruin your pride, you don't even worry, he's doing the most. You're a child of God, you give out your hand, you know that he'll keep you afloat. And I know that he'll keep you afloat, Ma, because we all know you're a great person. So this is our happy birthday to you. You know, we've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. We love
you. Yeah, you always gave us love at our worst point. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. Now, we are going to be getting into tonight's part one of two segments that is called, it's dealing with infidelity. And today, we're going to be speaking on part one of what exactly do you consider infidelity. Is sex the only form of infidelity? Because that seems to be the biggest association people make when you say cheating. Everybody imagines it's automatically sex, and that's what they think of, and it's the biggest horrible thing. We all know that fidelity, which is sex outside of the marriage or an exclusive union, that's one of the gravest blows to a relationship, as well as a painful rejection for one partner, or at least a feeling of that. Now, the damage inflicted on the couple is often irreversible, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with them. The damage then becomes metastasized, and it spreads to others that's involved with the couple, the couple's children, the couple's families, you know, if there's grandchildren involved, if there's people that, you know, that know them as a couple and they socialize as couples. And if there are friendships involved, because a lot of times cheating happens with one or the other spouse's or partner's friends, which, you know, that's the biggest blow that can happen as well. But either way, more than just the cheater gets hurt, more than just the couple themselves are affected. And so that the question I have for you guys tonight is sex the only form of infidelity? And I'm going to be bringing in a co-host in just a few minutes. So I'm going to give you what I always do, my take on it. No, it's not just a physical act of sex that's infidelity, to qualify as infidelity. And not only that, it's also not the only, not the biggest hurt that the affected party or the victim of the cheater is hurt by. It does hurt like hell that somebody has your partner's intimacy, but intimacy beyond the physical is probably the biggest form of betrayal, because when you get exclusive with someone, when somebody says, I want to just date you, or I want to marry you, or I want to be with you and there's nobody else, you form a special sacred bond amongst yourself, whereas everybody could see that my man looks good or my woman is hot, but no matter what we go out there and do, no one gets that part of me. It's for us in our world. When you are telling someone, I was interested in advancing my career and I was thinking about it, and the first person that you go to is someone outside of your partner, that partner, you have robbed that partner of the sacred intimacy that is supposed to be just for you guys. If you are having an issue with your partner and you can't go to your partner to discuss the problems and come up with a solution to address those problems up between each other, and you take it to someone else, that's a betrayal. So before I continue on, and I will get into, addressing the rest of what we feel among the discussion, let me bring in our amazing young person guest host today, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, Asia H. Let me welcome her to the stage. Give me just a second. Good evening, Asia. Are you there?
Hello, Kim. How are you doing?
Hi. So Katie's on the air with you. Can you speak up just a little bit?
Oh, can you hear me better?
Yes, much better. Okay, so.
Okay, perfect.
I will digress to you, and I'm going to ask you tonight's topic question. Is sex the only thing that qualifies or is classified as a form of infidelity?
I believe cheating is anything that breaks the boundaries and the rules in said relationship that is reserved, that is only for your partner. That goes, yes, sex itself is physically, but as you said, it goes much more intimate emotionally. That is a huge thing. That is actually a thing. A lot of women and men won't really recognize that because it's something that you cannot see. You know, it's just something that men will say, oh, it's just in your mind. You're just thinking too much. But that is, in fact, a thing. You know, you're giving your part, a part of you to another person, making them, without physically saying it, you're giving them the interpretation that they have a part of you that your spouse or your partner does not have.
That is an excellent input, and I totally agree. And, you know, I think that if people really stop to think about it, the physical aspect or the physical act of sex, that's definitely the ultimate, like, punch in the face to someone. For men, I think that their egos come first, but their heart is in it. Don't get me wrong, guys. I don't want you thinking that I'm saying that, you know, you guys are just huffing and puffing. But it is a thing. It's like society has it that men's bodies are to be spread around, but women are supposed to be in a corner, you know, puffed up and powdered and all this other stuff. And my thing is I think everybody is responsible for behaving respectfully, for behaving responsibly. Okay, guys, forgive that sound in the back. I just dropped my pens and everything. So getting with that, I believe that the hurt of infidelity is not just the sexual act. I think the biggest blow after you could get over the physical act and the visions in your head about what your man or your woman was doing with someone or your husband or your wife, I think it's more of you took away something that was supposed to be for us. You went to her when you were feeling down or you were feeling upset or you were having a problem with me. You went to them when you were having a bad day at work. You decided to go drinking instead of coming home. You supported her or him when I was asking for the same thing and couldn't get that from you. You told them about your dreams. You told them about everything. And when we were having an argument, you sort of cut me short and didn't. You didn't come back to the table to protect the union that we have together that was supposed to be us. Not only that, just think real hard. I don't know if you could relate, and anybody out there that could relate. By the way, if you want to speak and you want to join in or you know, add your opinions to this, you have to call the number because the live stream will not connect you to me. You can just listen only by live stream, but call the phone number, which is 347-327-9967. And if you want to speak, I need you to press the number 1. So, you know, you can be on the queue and, you know, hopefully everybody's not doing that. And I'll try to get to everybody that I can in this hour. So, you know, back with you, Asia, if you really stop and think about it, and I'm sure that everybody here has had a experience of some sort where somebody wasn't true, but after you get past the anger, the, you know, the punch in the stomach feel, when you start to think about it, like say you guys separated, to, you know, for whatever the reason, what really hurts you most? Isn't it not just the sex, but all the things you know that that person does with you because they find you special and you're their king or their queen and they give you all of their love and all of their tenderness and all of their intimate little things that are not necessarily sexual. Now, when I posted this question out there, and I don't know if you agree, but one of my listeners, and she's definitely somebody that when I started college, I became connected to her because she's spiritually wonderful. This is a power woman when I tell you, and she's articulate and wonderful. And she's just, when I was going through college as a homeless mom at the age of 40, pretty much, she was one of the intricate pillars that helped my journey be successful. Miss Lorraine Benjamin. Now she said something that I tell you hit me so much. And this is what she said. And this is for you too, Asia, so you can hear. She replied that sexual intercourse is the result of the emotional intercourse that took place. You can have your clothes off, but not be quote unquote naked with them until you've bared your soul and thoughts with them. The emotional betrayal hurts a million times more than the sexual betrayal. And I don't think she could have encompassed that or embraced that idea or that hit the nail on the head any better. So I want to ask you what your opinion is about what I just read.
I can definitely say she definitely hit the hammer on the head with that one. Just hearing it brought up some experiences of my own. Then it's proving that emotional cheating is a thing. For an example, a quick reference, I'm in my mid-20s, I'm 25. I've been in an, I guess you could say, off and on relationship with a person, with a man for about 10 years now. And getting in the situation that we would be in, yes, the physicality of him actually going out and cheating with multiple women did hurt. It did sting. It did, like you said, it was a gut punch. But what hurt me the most was seeing that, you know, he's emotionally texting him. He was emotionally involved. He was telling him that he loved them. Or he was, you know, oh, I'm concerned about your day. How can I make your day better? How, you know, what can I do? It's your birthday. Okay, well, let me plan a trip for you. Stuff that emotionally destroyed me because you're doing things that is only for us. And then when you're in a position to where, okay, you're quote-unquote nagging to your spouse about, hey, you know, I feel a bit disrespected, then, you know, some men, not all men, just the men, and for this example, was gaslighting. Oh, well, they're just a friend. You shouldn't be insecure. Then it's the insecurity that pops out. with it emotionally. So once you realize that the person may be emotionally cheating, it's the gaslighting, it's insecurity. So they're just a friend. You don't have to worry about that. But said friend, before you even physically touch them, you're telling them that you have feelings or, you know, you want to do romantic things for them. That's cheating before you even actually cheated. So explaining that to him, it's like talking to a brick wall. And then it was just playing back and forth. And it was expected for some, even though in this generation, you know, and it is expected for a man to, it's not accepted, but it is expected for a man to dip out of his relationship. But because it's only physical for most situations, that's all right. Still disrespectful, but the women should be okay with that. As you said, we're supposed to keep ourselves dolled up. You know, we're supposed to withhold ourselves to these standards while our partners are out just dibbling and dabbling in whatever pond that they decide to step their feet in. Not realizing you're breaking every said boundary that you unspokenly vowed to me. And if you are married, actually vowed.
Absolutely. Now, I do, and thank you for bringing up the married thing because it triggered something that I needed to remember. Someone answered me in the pre-broadcast topic question. And one of the things that was said was, well, I guess apparently some of them were confused with the question that I was asking. But one person says that they were slightly confused because being unfaithful to a spouse is one thing, but a sexual partner is something different. Now, they're right, because this is not applying to just sexual partners. We're speaking in particularly because, honestly, you can't be hurt and call it, you know, it can't, let me make sure I'm phrasing this correctly. You can't call it hurt to infidelity when you're not in a committed relationship. Because if you are accepting the position of just hooking up with this person for the purposes of sexual gratification, neither one of you owe anyone anything. You're coming there, you are freely giving yourselves up to the terms of the, you know, the implied non-committed relationship. And if both of you agree, it's consensual, that is the way it goes. If one of you decides to, or catches feelings, as they say, then that it, the person you feel for is not on them to deal with that. You have to make a decision as to what it is you're willing to accept. In that respect, you can't call the other person who just has an open sex life cheating because that doesn't apply to you. That doesn't apply to that relationship. So for those of you single people out there who are just hooking up or are not in a committed relationship, you don't have to call and defend it or anything because this particular topic is speaking on people that are in committed relationships, meaning whether or not you live together, you have decided that you are exclusive to each other, which means that it gives you the right to ask questions and things to that effect so that each of you can make the decision based on what the truth of it is, meaning if you're saying you're exclusive, but then you find yourself wanting to be with other people, then you need to make that clear in the relationship so everybody is equally educated on the status of things. Two, if you are living together because you are exclusive, that is definitely, you know, on that level. Three, if you're engaged because, hey, that's already right up there. And if you're married, absolutely, we already know exclusivity is already, you know, part of the package. So that's it. And for those of you that want to tell me about alternative marriages, obviously, if you have an open marriage, for me, in my own personal humble viewpoint, an open marriage sort of is it defeats the purpose of what marriage is supposed to be. So if you guys are open in that respect, then, you know, I guess the cheating fidelity in the traditional form that we're talking about here, you know, it doesn't really apply. Okay. So I'm speaking on traditional exclusive relationships where each person expects the other one to be faithful. Now, especially in a marriage, when you are in that type of a relationship, everything is supposed to be to you. Everything on the outside is supposed to be secondary or even further down than that because your husband and your wife or your spouse, That is who gets it. Now, for me, I'm a believer, so I say, of course, after God. But when you marry your spouse, even your parents are secondary to your spouse. Okay? And no matter what, I'm going to tell you that there was this this couple that lived across the street from myself when my children were younger. It was I can't say they were older, but they, I'll say up there, maybe late 30s at that time. Now, they were together for many years, and they used to have sometimes arguments. Normally, their stuff was kept indoors, but come on, listen, I know a lot of you guys and women are out there like, you're not supposed to have any type of argument. It's supposed to be private, but please, don't tell me that at some point in time, there hasn't been a moment in your humanity where something has gotten so enraging in the moment, in the heat of the moment, that you guys argued in a place where you just couldn't be discreet. Even if you went into another room and things got heated, other people could hear you through the walls, even if you made the attempt to be in private, okay? But the understanding that if you people heard you through the room, that means that's on them. What they heard, if you're in the room, whether you heard or not, you got to understand that it was meant to be private. So my thing is this. So I remember being outside, and I was clipping my hedges, and the husband of this relationship came running across the street while he's yelling at his wife at the door to come to the car that was parked in front of my house. So I hear him arguing, and they're yelling, and it wasn't anything too intimate, but it was enough to know that it was something that was among them. So anyway, he turns to me, and he says, I'm sorry, sis, that you see this. Doesn't matter. I know that it's just a little public, but that's my wife, and it's between us. Now, for me, I respected him, and I couldn't have been more proud of that couple, that despite the fact that something went out of their character, or despite the fact that they had a heated moment that kind of spilled over, something they probably didn't intend, but it happened to happen because you can't stop them be all coiffed and perfect in some moments. But he turned to me to let me know it doesn't matter what people hear. That's my queen. And she did the same. I don't care what you hear. That's between me and my man, and you couldn't say anything to me about him. And to me, that is the level of understanding and respect that should be in a relationship. So that's for me. With regards to infidelity, when you have someone that takes the time to love you and love you above themselves sometimes, to the point that every little thing about you matters to them to be in its best possible shape. It's a gift, and it's something to be cherished, and it's something that should not be taken lightly, and it's something that if at any point in time you are not in the capacity to handle it with the great respect, love, and care that it deserves, you need to do the right thing and step away until either you are prepared on your own to be the right in the right position, in the right capacity of the role you are supposed to play in that position. Or step away and allow that person to be able to have an informed decision and be respected regardless of whether or not breaking up or separating hurts them. Because it's much better for someone to break up with respect and properly and with dignity than to sit there and hurt you and tell you everything that they think you want to hear, and tell you everything that you are, the moon, the stars, the sun for them. But then anything that you're doing that your other half can't readily see, that you have to hide or say after hours, or create another whole profile or a whole nother agenda to be able to do, you need to check yourself. Either that activity is to be deaded and done for the relationship, or step up the relationship and move to where you want to be. Whether or not you love the person you're with and that's your everything, you can't sit there and have your cake and eat it too. It just can't. It's not right for that person, and it's unfair on all edges, and it's disrespectful. So I'm going to ask you, co-host, Asia, the word I'm trying to see here, isn't it better if they break up, you're a little sad, but at least you weren't disrespected, than to sit there and try to, you know, balance out or explain or minimize what it is, you know, that they're doing to make it better so that you could stay in it to avoid separating? That's my question to you about that. What's your take on that?
As hard as it may be, I do agree. I tell women that come to me, it is best for you to go through that pain than to continue in a false relationship, knowing that he might continue with the same old, the problems, the issues, the gaslighting. It is best to just walk away than to hurt yourself furthermore. You're going to cry, yes. You're going to get it all out, scream, throw a fit, do what you got to do. But to stay in that relationship knowing that you're feeling the way that you're feeling, emotionally, mentally, physically, it's just going to be, it's going to be worse than what you're feeling in the initial impact after the relationship.
And honestly, like I said with my listener, Lorraine, that her response was so profound and so, like that's going to be, like, you know, the pinned post for you to follow. Like, that's the thing, at least for me. I'm waiting to hear the rest of you with your ideas or your input on the subject. If you are just joining me once again and you want to join in on the conversation with my wonderful co-host here, the guest co-host, please call the phone number, not the live stream. Call 347-327-9967 and be able to press 1 so that you can join me here and give me your thoughts. And please, everyone, be respectful, because this is not something, this is not, you know, I see you call, I'm going to bring you in just 2 seconds. This is not a, you know, we're not doing the reality talk show type stuff here. We really want to get to the bottom of understanding each other and having respect. So, Asia, there's actually a guest coming in, so just give me 1 split second, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Paula. You're on the air. Hello?
Good evening, Katie. Good evening, Asia. It's actually the mic.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Who am I speaking with?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Lorraine Benjamin.
Hi, beautiful.
Hi,
that, Lorraine, this is Asia. Asia, this is Lorraine. She's the one that made
Asia.
That wonderful, profound, and amazing response. So I really want to hear what you have to say, Miss Lorraine.
Thank you both for bringing up the subject, because infidelity is such a painful, painful thing. But I've also found that infidelity is one of those things I've learned that women have become almost jaded by. They almost expect a man or a partner to cheat. My own grandmother had once told me, a man can pray at a whole bunch of different churches, but he can only worship at one cathedral, and you
mm-hmm.
better be Notre Dame. And
wow.
In my 20s, I was okay with that. Now pushing 60, it's like, that isn't cool. Man, the way women were socialized to put up with cheating and the excuses that were given were not cool. I am so glad, Asia, at the age of 25, you were wise enough to know that, no, I can't, and I will not put up with that. That's a no for me. Kudos to you. Kudos.
Thank you. Lorraine, I actually really want to touch on that, because you are, as you were doing before, hitting the hammer on the head. It is expected, especially in my generation, when I speak to my friends, they meet a guy, the relationship is going strong in the beginning, but as you said, they're expecting their man to cheat. Like I said, not that it's right, but in the back of their head, even my mother told me when I first met my boyfriend at the time, and mm-hmm. she realized he was getting serious, listen, if you love this man is going to cheat. He is going mm-hmm. to have a phase where he's going to get more attention, he's going mm-hmm. to be looking at other women, and if you love him, I kid you not, this is what my mother told me at 16, 17 years old, mm-hmm. that you're going to have to endure that. So what did I do for almost 10 years until I realized my self-worth? It took a long time. It took me crying and struggling and, you know, arguing with myself about my self-worth, but I endured that. It wasn't, I was never really, yes, I was upset about the physical cheating, but I'm like, hey, you know, we got together really young, so I should expect that. Until one day I woke up and was like, no, I am not going to be in my 40s, 30, late 30s, early 30s, mm-hmm. enduring this type of behavior, knowing that mm-hmm. it is unacceptable. I wouldn't want my daughter or my son being treated, because there are women who do the same thing.
Exactly.
Let's not just signal out men here. Mm-hmm. I would not want my kids to feel even a half, a fraction of what I felt.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want to interject here because, Miss Lorraine, I actually want to hear, oh, my God, you know that you're one of my heroes anyway. So let me tell you, I am an equal opportunity mouth. That's what I say to everybody. My mouth goes for both sides. I am a woman. So, yes, unfortunately, a lot of times what's most known or most common is that women are usually on the other side of the hammer falling. But mm-hmm. I want to make it very clear. I have a lot more sons than I have daughters. You know, actually, let me not say that like I have three armies. I have one army. That's it. Just mm-hmm. my boys outnumber my daughters. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you that I have seen, especially in this generation, some very wicked women. And mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that the young girls are being taught, as you just said, Delasia, your mom told you to expect it because pretty much her generation, that's what it was. You shut up. You take domestic abuse because it's accepted, because men are told to keep their household in check, but nobody questioned how. Nobody questioned when. But understand something, because I've been through the only two relationships in my life that both turned out to be abusive. The first one, I had left a foster home, and the foster home was a great place. I was almost aged out. I was actually doing something with myself. But, you know, when you're only 18 and at the time, you're very much influenced by image. You're influenced by peer pressure, by other stuff. So when I started hearing people, and at that time, group homes and foster homes, that wasn't something that you wanted to tell people you lived in. You made stuff up. And I had a wonderful foster mom. I had a great little intimate, cozy little place that was actually helping me get through my schooling and appreciate goals that I wanted for myself. And it was a beautiful little place, something out of a magazine. And it was all of these things, but it was a group home, and that wasn't good enough. So I actually, on one of my visits out before curfew, went back to my old neighborhood but that I grew up in with my siblings and everything, to this one person that used to hang with my brother that, by my standards, I wouldn't even let him touch my shoes. But we sort of met later, like when it seemed like he had calmed down from what I first knew. And he started talking. And there was a specific situation that was going on with me where my self-esteem was about one of two things. Mm. And he happened to give me the savior talk about one of those big two things that was my points of defeat, I say. Mm-hmm. So he got to say the right things. Mind you, this man wasn't my type, and I didn't feel for him in that way. But, you know, eventually I grew to feel like I belonged somewhere, because it wasn't a group home, but mm-hmm. it was somewhere. But he was abusive, and I had my first children with him. And to top it all mm-hmm. off, I was already a domestic little wifey in a sense of the word, but mm-hmm. his family, they were very, just not great. And I got to the point where I believe that was my punishment from the universe, from God or whoever, for mm-hmm. deliberately going into position and taking my place in a place I didn't belong, with a man I didn't want to be with or didn't love. Mm-hmm. and allowed myself to say, I'm growing to love him. And at least I belong somewhere. Because when you're young, trying to dip your hand in adult places that no one really prepared you for, and you think you're grown, or you think you know certain things, or you think you can handle it,
mm-hmm.
You wind up making choices that look real good on paper or real good mm-hmm. in the window, but then you go in the fitting room and nothing about it works.
It doesn't fit.
But they have a no return policy.
Mm-hmm. So, it's amazing we condition ourselves to accept.
Yeah. I'm going to say one more thing because, Ms. Lorraine, I want to turn the mic over to you in just a minute. Women and men, and I want to say this to both sides. Society says that men are supposed to be cheaters. Well, no, sexually promiscuous or sexually free. They are supposed to be rough and tough and feel no pain the way women do. Tears are not allowed. There is no such thing as rape. There is no such anything. Meanwhile, these guys grow up and they are oppressed, or, you know, things that are tragic are oppressed, suppressed for them. So they take it out in what is considered manly things and wind up being abusive to women, abusive to the community, abusive to their children, horrible examples for the men and women that they are going to be raising once their seed has been planted. And we think it's the way it's supposed to be. Young people nowadays got it real twisted, young generation, which is why I'm proud of you for going through your story and understanding it. You are what you say you are. You can't let the approval of someone else be what defines you. Cheating is not just a physical act of taking your clothes off, like you said, Lorraine. Cheating is taking that dream that you, when you were down and you didn't have anything, we were there together talking about it, dreaming about opening a restaurant one day, dream about us and what we're going to do when you won that MBA scholarship or whatever it was. And then while everything was rough and you give them everything and they loved you for it and put you on this pedestal, and then suddenly when all the work that you guys did together as you against the world, everybody else now got through the door.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that was supposed to be special for you, when you see those same words in a text message to someone else who had nothing to do with the bumps and the scrapes and the boo-boos mm-hmm. and all that other stuff, it's not sacred. So now you're stuck with feeling, and listen to this, men, you're stuck with feeling that, wait a minute, everything that was special about us, everything that was our foundation is a lie. Because it wasn't just me he felt that way about or she felt that way about. She said that same thing to the next dude. He said that same thing to the next girl.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly did he think of me? Or what exactly was I to him or her?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when there's, I do need to refer to my research articles, as you guys know. I'm trying to get to it because it keeps coming up. One of the things I'm going to say was written by a couples counselor. This article is actually a few years old, but however, it's just as relevant, by M. Gary Newman. It was written on a site on Health News. As a matter of fact, I believe this was NBC News, Health News. It's called Why You Don't Have to Have Sex to Cheat. April 16, 2007, M. Gary Newman, N-E-U-M-A-N. Now, he says that people don't tend to believe that the behaviors they're engaging in. Then he said that the couples that he counseled were actually furious with him for saying what I'm about to say. He was saying that a lot of times, even the behavior that you do that is seemingly innocent or light is a form of cheating. For example, you flirting with your text, with your coworkers. You know, I get smiling, flirting, being a little charming, but flirting to a point has to have a limit when you're involved, especially if you're married. So mm-hmm. some types of flirting, you know, it's got to go. Now, I never understood, this is something I'm going to say. When they had sexual harassment laws and guidelines implemented into the workplace, right? And this is something I'm actually going to definitely want to get your feedback from, Ms. Lorraine, because you've been in this type of workforce for some time and you guided me when I came into college as my advisor. And a lot of the things that you did went way beyond just being a counselor. The type of advice and, you know, an integration with me into helping me understand myself with the books and everything, it's pivotal. And so one of the things that I wanted to say was, I never understood some of the very, like, little, how can I put this, like, little petty things that they listed as, don't even do this, you know? I used to say to myself, oh, my God, give me a break. I mean, really? You know, I used to think that sexual harassment was for men, for women and men that walk around thinking they can actually grope a person or say these outrageously, you know, sexually charged things or make advances and things like that. But I understood it. I understood it later because I actually witnessed a couple of people and because I watched the Lifetime Movie Network. And believe me, you learn a lot of lessons there, even if it seems to be extreme. But some of those things, as extreme as the plot is and as unrealistic as some of those things are, is as realistic as they come from the foundation that they bring it from. So I watched this particular female employee that there was this manager when we worked at Wendy's that was actually pretty handsome to most of the girls there, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was the type that he wanted to make the workplace a fun place, even though he was strict with the rules, meaning like he could smile with you and he makes the environment one you want to come to every day. Mm-hmm. But he didn't give you a pass for breaking the rules because what people don't understand, because they try to dismiss the value of fast food workers, is that it is food that's going into your stomach. So these health department laws that are put in place are put in place to save your damn life, okay, to not spread things that can kill you. So if the workers behind there don't follow that to the letter, somebody gets hurt. So he was that type of person. However, he was really good looking. And he was very sweet and very open. And he wasn't the type of person that would ever disrespect you. But he was very, very smooth, you know. And he would, you know, if you were feeling down, he would take you to the side. He would put his hand on your shoulder. You okay? All right, listen, you got this. Get up there and go do this. Don't worry about that. And, you know, putting his hand on your shoulder, not in any intimate way, just in a comforting way. But anybody that liked him in that way, that had their own expectations of what their feelings for that man would do or could happen or would amount to, made putting those tiny little, you know, itty-bitty, what we would call menial things in the sexual harassment guidelines necessary because this one person who, by the way, failed in performances quite often and he had been instructed quite a long time ago to fire her because she just couldn't keep up. He kept trying to give her a feeling of self-worth and say, listen, if you just stop a minute and don't flip it like this really quick, wait till it gets like this. Now follow along. She started, instead of taking the extra time that he was giving her to help her improve and not lose her job, she kept thinking that if the more I mess up, the more I can maneuver some time with him. And when he tried to give it the attention as a manager and a good teacher would, okay, she turned it into something else and wind up almost getting him fired. If it wasn't the rest of us understood or was there for him because he was smart enough to make sure that whatever he did with anybody was done with a whole bunch of people in place to have his back. Mm-hmm. So wow. I understood it. And I think that it's dead wrong when you're sitting up there and you are you know, you have things in your head that you feel you're entitled to that you really aren't. So my thing for cheaters is this, and then like I said, I'm going to go back to you, Lorraine. My thing is, in a relationship, women, we have to be realistic, and men, you as well. We're human. So if we see somebody that looks good on the opposite sex while we're in a relationship, we're looking, unless we're sitting up there salivating while our partner's sitting there, you know, there's no disrespect to that because whatever's going through your head when you're looking at that person, you need to bring home the actions and the results of that to your home. You understand? Everybody has a fantasy of some sort. Now, when you start thinking that fantasy could become something that you can have and still have your significant other in place or your wife or your husband. We have issues. That's where the disrespect starts to blur. I used to tell my second children's father, you can look all you want. You see a girl that she's got her stuff out, I guess your biology is going to kick in. You just make sure that before that car gets parked, it's parked in the right garage. Pretty much that's what I used to say. I'm not going to sit there and go nuts trying to control something I can't control. I'm also not going to foster an environment that makes that happen for anybody. I don't leave my sisters or my female friends alone with my man, not because I'm paranoid or whatever, but I just don't want to, you know, like put a match near a gas spark, if you get what I'm saying. That could happen. So, you know, it, by all means, you have to make sure that you do as much as you can to preserve the sacred home. I get that. And I wouldn't want to put my husband or my boyfriend in the position to be in that position. You understand? So, or my sisters or friends, if on the other hand, to be in that position. So I get that. Now, I want to allude back to you. What, you know, give me your, some of your feedback on that, like on.
Yeah. This,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's cheating and infidelity is never really about the sex. It's the anticipation. It's the thrill. It's a drug. It messes with your mind. You start thinking that maybe what's on the other side is better than what I have. Because 9 times out of 10, and this happens with both the male partner and the female partner, once the blush is off the rose and real life sets in, you've got to concentrate on real life. And then real life can be very boring. It can be very mundane. You want something to spark you again. And instead of being wise and discussing with your partner, it's like, okay, we're being mom and dad and husband and wife. Let's get back to some moments where we can be boyfriend and girlfriend. Keep that spark. Keep that interest.
Absolutely.
Okay? Cheating is a choice.
Another
infidelity is a choice. And it's not just the physical stuff. You can have somebody who's financially an infidel, meaning they're destroying what you think you're working for financially. Nobody likes to talk about that. Nobody likes to talk about the fact that it takes a lot of work to keep the love light alive.
Mm-hmm.
It takes so much work. Because we've got pressures on both sides. I told a brother on the train yesterday, when I was going to work yesterday, just so he would hear it, I said, black man, you are fine. You are loved. We need you. Continue to protect us. Not because I wanted to knock boots with him, but I wanted him to know that he's valued. And I said, I hope your partner tells you this and shows you this.
Absolutely. Deleja, I want to hear your input on this.
I can definitely agree, especially with the financial infidelity. That was something that I was thinking about bringing up. That is also, you know, if you guys, like Lorraine said, you guys are working towards a common goal and, you know, it's ruined between the two, or your credit is ruined, you know, how would you guys feel about that also being a common factor? But it seems that we all agree that it's actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that is actually not spoken about in relationships. As Lorraine said, it is honestly, even me being at 25, still trying to not understand men, because that's going to be a long road. That's an equation that no one could be able to solve. But trying to get the grasp of what goes on in their mind when they're cheating, because there's plenty of different forms of cheating, emotionally being, you know, the most common, physical and emotionally being most common. But then, as you were saying, in the workplace, there's micro micro-cheating, which is the flirtation and, you know, the smiles and the little, here's, I bought you, like little stuff that can be deemed as petty and innocent can lead up to much more things. But then there's major things like financially. You just ruined my credit because you decided to just go and splurge on something that wasn't necessary. Mm-hmm. And it is honestly the thrill. You see a new girl, a new fresh face, and you're like, wow, I want to get next to her, not knowing you should be getting closer to the woman at home. If you guys are going through a rough path, like she said, instead of saying, hey, let's get our thrill back, let's find our spark, let's leave the kids, the grandparents, the sitter, the uncle, aunties, whomever, and let's just go out on a date. Let's date each other. Heck, let's even role play. Let's meet each other at the bar and pretend we don't meet. You know, find the spark. Don't think that the grass is never greener. It is freshly painted. That's what I used to tell my mother when she would have these talks. Yeah. The grass is painted. It is spray painted, and when the water hits it, it's going to wear off.
Absolutely. Now, I want to bring up something you ladies both spoke on with regard to cheating. Now, micro-cheating, I was looking at because, okay, I have to say this because, as I said, I don't know, Ms. Lorraine, if you heard that this is the first of a two-parter. On Friday, there's going to be a part two to this, and I'm going to tell you what it is. Now, on this particular part, I would like to bring up infidelity. I want everybody's opinion and thoughts on whether only sex is the infidelity, is considered infidelity. And so far, you guys have brought up some amazing, you know, other examples that and we're all in agreement here. I don't know if anybody else disagrees. And you know what's funny? Usually by now I have a bunch of guys who are not really into being committed but are in a committed relationship and want to justify it, screaming on the top of their lungs that you women don't understand. It's this and this and this. But, you know, I haven't had that, not in the comments and not here. But either way, now, I will say this. Micro-cheating, that's kind of a new phrase for me. I'm sure it's been around for a while. But some examples that came up in one of my, in the Forbes magazine, in a Forbes magazine article is a couple of examples. Was one is, and this one is pretty popular now. This is a non-sexual point of cheating, right? And that is, and I want us to hear what both of you ladies think about this. Obsessively liking a person's post on social media, especially if they find that person attractive, whether they've said it out loud or their partner realized it or they just by their actions are making it suspicious. So, for example, your man or your woman, every time somebody, you know, posts on social media a picture, sometimes it's just a nice picture that just happens to be attractive on a female or a male. Other times, you know exactly what I'm talking about, these people that they act like they just want to put themselves out there, but the things they're dressed in and the poses that they make, we know what you're looking for. Come on, cut it out. But anyway, so if your man or woman is obsessively liking their posts and their pictures and making comments on other people's social media posts of that nature, do you consider that cheating? I'm going to start with you, Delasia.
You know, I once saw a little, I'm not going to say podcast, but I once saw a man actually discuss how it could be viewed as cheating to his spouse, or as I would assume that he was inferring about his spouse. And it goes to show, if you're liking a couple of pictures every so often, like family pictures, okay, that's fine, that's innocent in itself. But if every post that the other person is making, you're found in the life, that is leading them on, that's leading the other person to think you are very interested in them. Because let's be honest, in my generation, as of right now, if you heart a picture or you heart one of their stories, and if you're consistent with it, that's letting the other person know, okay, this person is feeling me. Like, you know, they think I'm attractive. Let me attempt to slide in their DMs. Or, you know, in my experiences, they would like your picture, so they would start to feed on your profile until one of you will start the initial conversation. That would be considered micro, the beginning of micro. Like, that would just be micro cheating in itself, because it's not anything physical that you're doing, you're not really having any verbal conversations saying that you're interested, but it is the initial aspect of you're liking all the pictures or you're commenting on all their statuses. Now, when brought up in the relationship, because it's 9 times out of 10, the woman is catching on to their man doing that more than the man is catching their woman doing it, when it is brought up, it's, you know, the insecurity, you're just insecure that, you know, I'm liking. It's back and forth until the roles are flipped. Now, when they realize that their woman is liking a man's picture, and the woman is like, oh, no, I just thought the picture was, you know, he was a handsome guy, it was a nice picture, I liked his hat, I just double-tapped it. The man will feel, oh, no, I know what you double-tapped for, you think that man is cute. So it's like, it's a double standard for the man to feel as though, okay, well, you're liking this picture because you want him. That's who you're attracted to. But when they're doing it, it's, oh, no, I just like the picture. Not knowing that that is micro-cheating in itself. That is a perfect explanation of micro-cheating.
Okay, it is a good example because I'm going to go to Lorraine on this because there's actually a flip side of this that I want to ask you about. So what do you say, Lady Lorraine?
Please do not take this as condescending, Asia. At 25, yes, I would have thought that was cheating. At 58, like a picture. I got other things to do. I got an empire to build. It is something I don't expect the men that I'm with to do that. But I've fought long and hard to get to this space. So I do hear what you're saying. You like a picture? You like a picture. Just something like, yeah, he likes the pictures. Okay. And I'm not going to harp on it. Again, it's one of those things where it's the thrill, it's the rush that's at play here. I don't think that it's necessarily cheating, but it may be a precursor to, I'll just keep my eye on that. Not obsess about it, because the word you did use was obsessively liking. That was the word that was used.
Lady, you are so on point.
Yes.
Lorraine. You are so on point.
That was what I was trying
to,
that's what I was, in a sense, trying to refer to. Is, you know, it's okay to like a couple of pictures, but once it's intense, like once you're doing it all the time, every single picture, as you said, okay, I'm going to keep my eye out on that because, you know, what's going on here?
All right, I want to interject on that one for a minute. First of all, both of you ladies, on point. Miss Lorraine, I swear you must be like, you got like a fog light on everything I'm thinking. Because as soon as I'm like, I'm going to come back, and you're like, bing, bing. Okay, so listen to this, right? I'm on the fence like you, Miss Lorraine, and like you as well, Delasia, because in your own form, you sort of agreed with what Miss Lorraine said about watching. So here's my deal. I actually am like dead smack in the middle of my, first of all, every woman, and I think this is mostly like a young girl thing, but I see a lot of women my age trying to get a part of their life that is gone, over with, done, stop it already. Putting out these pictures where, you know, they look like they're going to be twerking in 3 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you need that type of attention, you got to check your self-worth, lady, because if a guy is just sexually charged, anything that just shows a little form is going to turn him on, whether you showing everything or you're showing nothing at all. Now, I'm the type of person, it took me a long time to even like pictures of myself. When my baby daughter started to get a little bit of interest in photography, for some reason, when she took pictures of me, I loved what I saw in the pictures. Like, they were always a pose. I said, hey, I kind of look good in that. That's the pictures that you see me post on Facebook. And I swear, if I take selfies now, I'm like, oh, my God, I look like a horse. Oh, my goodness, my face is all blurred out. Anything I take about me, I hate. So when I started putting pictures out, they weren't pictures of me in a thong with, you know, high heels or might as well be a thong or you know, to put on Facebook to just go, hey, guys, just saying good morning, knowing that everybody's going to have their tongue out and something in their hand, regardless to depending on which thing they want to put in their hand to join the party, okay? So naturally, if you're going to put out these suggestive pictures, you're going to get everybody in the world having a like and 5,000 views and all the other stuff. However, this is my deal. I put out pictures of myself usually because I'm going to say, hey, good morning, this is what I'm feeling. Hey, but I don't do selfies like every other day, okay? However, I have a lot of people that have known me now since I started this show that I actually have networking with, and they're in relationships, and they always, you know, we all look out, I guess because of the show, some things I say, people look to see what I'm going to think about something next. People, you know, gravitate to my conversations, and it goes up. When they see those pictures, this is what I get from them. And if my man did this, it would be great. Hey, nice picture. You're looking good there. And we'll keep it moving. That's no big deal. It is a nice picture. If it's a guy, same thing. It is a nice picture. Now, how you start to find out if it's something to be concerned with is, like you just said, even if that person, for that one person, consistently likes something or follows the post, they could just think that this person, like in my level here with the professionalism, is a good person to talk to. They're somebody substantial, but it doesn't take away from my relationship. It's just somebody else in the world that has that substantial. Now, if that person is liking only posts that clearly you as a woman can see that woman, what that's about, because we are women that dress like that for certain occasions, for certain results. And if that person only responds repeatedly to those type of pictures, and if they make that person is bold enough to make those openly a hypersexual innuendo of comments, and your man is constantly responding and trying to cover up the way it comes out, even though there's only one way it can come out, and they're constantly looking for pictures or every single post that person has out, he's responding to. Yep, you got to start watching out to that. Women too. A lot of young women are the ones doing it, but honey, I'm telling you right now, I see a lot of grown men that should be. Let's see how they used to break it down. What did they say? Like men start getting serious and settling down when they hit the 30s. Isn't that what it is, Miss Lorraine? When they get about 35, that's when they really start thinking about 40s. Settling down.
They still in the club in the 30s.
Okay, I'm not talking about today's mutants. I'm talking about like when we were growing up, when they said, you know, that technically men, you know, women are, we're prepared to be domesticated early on in life. We know how to cook and we take care of families. But men are like, yeah, well, I'm just having fun and we're going. I'm talking about when they say that men's minds start to actually mature, supposedly. Right? Let me tell you something. I see men older than me, and you guys know I'm 29, just turned 29. That's my story. Anyway, in my 29, I see men older than my 29, okay, that they love you. Oh, this is the big thing. Oh, I'm a God-fearing man, and, you know, I just want to let you know you look really nice, and that's a nice picture of you. And you're like, oh, okay, thank you. You say thank you. The next thing you know, you got an inbox. Ding. Mm-hmm. Hey, I just wanted to know how you were. No, you like the picture. Yeah. I don't know you, bro. Thank you very much. That's it. On the other hand, flip side of this, the person that they like the picture for, you have to watch the response they give to that response. Get it? I've had it where I know exactly what that person was trying to say when they quote and quote said, you look lovely today. My response, because I'm not impolite, is, oh, thank you very much. I don't add no emojis. I don't do anything extra. And I leave it and keep it moving. When they try to follow up with a question that looks like it's going to step two, we stop. Okay? But now, if that lady, who most likely has a man who ain't doing what she thinks he should be doing, gets a response and continues in a way where it's not on the level and can't be stopped, we have issues. So everybody is sort of responsible for how that goes on social media. Everybody is. The other micro-cheating thing is that they listed was texting. Now, we definitely know if you're sexting somebody, that you don't have to question what that's about. But to me, you shouldn't be texting my friends, my sisters, or anyone as my man if it wasn't something all of us was involved with. And anything that you can't do with your spouse, like, for example, I don't mean being in his guy's night out or a girl's night out. This is what I mean. I would never want somebody that I'm with that I met because they were kind and helpful, you know, and compassionate. I would never want them to change that because they're in a relationship with me. However, if you have a neighbor of either sex, whether you're a man doing this or a woman doing this, if you have a person that you clearly can see they're the type of person that they're making their inner intentions known or their inner desires known for you, and they say to you, can you come help me move a chair because I've been trying to get it out of the garage and I just can't handle it. If I can't go with you to go help her move that chair, then she's not trying to just get a chair help or simple help. And if you are going over there and trying to find an excuse as to why I can't go, you understand? There's something to question there. That's my opinion. So I'm going to allude to you, DeLaise, if you agree.
Personally, if the texting, I mean, I don't mind, I wouldn't mind my significant other having the opposite sex friends if, you know, the boundaries are there, he knows the do's and the don'ts. But once it starts being sneaky, once, you know, you're deleting text messages or you're, you know, minusculing you're making the message to be less than what it is, once you're starting to lie about it, then it becomes cheating. Then it becomes inappropriate and disrespectful. And like you said, if not saying I have to be there every second that you're doing something with somebody else, but hey, if you're not willing to do that in the presence of me, it's cheating. That's it. If you wouldn't be comfortable with me doing the exact same thing that you're doing, it could be viewed as cheating.
And I'm going to send the question over to you, Ms. Lowe.
That was a great point. If you don't want me to do something that you would be uncomfortable with, then it's cheating. It really is that simple. I mean, my late husband used to say, he said, I had good male friends. He had good female friends. The rule was when we called the people of the opposite sex, we would always put each other on the phone to say hi.
God, I told you, that fog light. You got that fog light. You got that fog light, Ms. Lowe. Let me tell you what I was about to say. One of the things as well that this couple's counselor wrote in this article, but I had already put in my pre-notes that, you know, I would say in my commentary. This is a situation. If you get involved with somebody that you have deemed to be that person to be exclusive with, there are certain things that you got to come to the table and improvise with anyway. Some things you have to compromise on. You already know that there's a lot of things you can't do that you could do when you were single. Okay, when you are in a committed relationship, especially if you're married. Now, there are a lot of things that is unfair for either party to ask a person to change or diminish of themselves just to be with you. But this is a good example that we just brought up with regards to like liking a person's post. Now, let's say, like you said, DeLaise, a lot of the gaslighting comes in, which usually guilty parties would do. Okay, they would, you know, blame the victim, you know, of something they've done. Here's my situation. If you are doing something that you're not, and let's say that you have no desire whatsoever, that your inner desires do not match the appearance of what you're doing. Let's say that. Let's say you're just liking a person's post because, yes, the person does look attractive, and yes, that is a nice picture, and you're doing that. But if your partner is uncomfortable with you doing that, that is not something that's going to make or break your life, anything in there, but it will ruin your relationship. It doesn't matter if you think that they're being over over the top, unless it's somebody that's been in your family, you know, like, you know what I mean, where you know there's absolutely nothing mm-hmm. going on there, but this person has been there for you in rough and tough times before you met your significant other. But you have to understand that you have to respect your relationship. So even if, let's say, like you said, Miss Lowe, your late husband had, let's say that one of his male friends, you just didn't like, he rubs you the wrong way. You will respect that he comes over, but if he gets to the point that every time he comes over, you are uncomfortable in your home, you would tell your husband, hey, listen, I get he's your friend and everything, but I really don't want him coming to the house. I feel uncomfortable in the house. Or at least to the point of you being able to tell your partner that this behavior in our house makes me uncomfortable. That needs to change, or I would prefer you meet him outside, like you go hang elsewhere. Your partner is obligated to a point to sort of understand that the relationship comes first. There is a way to keep his friend and respect his wife or his mm-hmm. partner and say, listen, man, not for nothing, but my wife don't like, you know, you screaming out loud and saying these things because the kids are here or whatever the case is. Or mm-hmm. he could pretty much say, listen, yeah, you know, I'll go and I hang with you, but you know something? It makes my wife worry when I'm not here by, you know, X, Y, and Z, and I'm just going to make sure I don't drink more than this amount so I could drive home and be home safe.
Mm-hmm.
Some things you can give up for the sake of your relationship without it being given up you or giving up who you are. Like I just said, I wouldn't ever want to change a good man's characteristics because I'm afraid of what could happen. But he could say, you know what, babe, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
And give me mm-hmm. the option to say, okay, no, you know what, I don't have to go, but I tell you what. And you know how we women have, there's a little joke, we're laughing but very serious type thing. I tell you what, I know exactly how long to move a chair, and if you're not here, I'm calling police or something like that. You know, this is the type of thing that we understand. That little joke where, you know, the guys be like, yeah, you know, the wife's going to start it up, you better go. That type of thing, that should be exactly what's in there. If you can't right. invite your significant other to openly see what you have, not saying that we should be prowling and looking, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if there's any activity involved with someone else that makes that person uncomfortable, it is your job as their significant other to make them feel secure and safe in everything that happens. Perfect example. I don't know how many of you watch Blue Bloods, okay? Blue Bloods had this particular episode where Donnie Wahlberg's character's wife, there was a very obnoxious and flirtatious, pretty much floozy neighbor that happened to be a friend of Danny's from when they were in high school or whatever. And I think he was best friends with her brother. They were on the same football team or whatever. She always was getting in trouble. And when his friend died, on his deathbed, he begged Danny to please look out for my sister because, you know, she's an airhead pretty much and she's always going to get in trouble. And these guys, they're constantly abusing her. Now, Danny, before he got married, but even when he was dating his wife, was always running to her rescue because of his alliance to his best friend. They all grew up together, whatever. But his wife started noticing even back then that she kept on using that because she was attracted to him to over-exaggerate the trouble she was in or deliberately get into those situations so she can call him. So after one point, the wife was like, let me tell you something. I respect that you're going over there. I trust you and everything, but I'm starting to see it, and I'm telling you right now that if she doesn't quit it or whatever, I'm going to put my foot down, so handle it. He started to tell her, listen, you can't keep doing this and stop getting yourself in these positions. I will come to you because, you know, you're starting to piss off my wife, pretty much. Now, there was one point in this episode where she went overboard and she got herself all banged up, but then went back to the guy and called Danny again. This time around, because guys don't do to women what we do when we notice what women are up to, but they'll definitely let you know when they see a guy doing stuff that they know is a guy trick. So what happened was the wife walks up to her when she pulled up in front of their house going, I really need to see Danny, because she's like, listen. She grabbed her phone and she deleted her husband's number out, and she goes, don't call him, call the other police. Don't get yourself involved and lose our number. You go take care of your life and grow up and get a life, and that's it. And she looked at her husband and said, now that's the final word. So if you got any issues, yeah, let's see what you're going to do when you go in the house. But that's what you have to do. And you know what? He was like, yep, and that's that. Pretty much, that's the word. Because my wife comes first. Now, she allowed him to be his compassionate self. She said he's compassionate to a fault. I've always never understood what that meant. Started figuring that out. To the point where there are people who don't know how to take the gift of people being good like that without you thinking that there's something in it for you. Or that you're entitled to satisfy the feeling you have about somebody that has no idea you feel that way. And because you feel it and you want it, it's going to happen at the expense of any and everybody. So that's my question to both of you. Do you think that part of a way that we can bring this whole thing down, because one of the things, like I said, that this counselor said, is that there are things you do that are infidelity without it being sexual. You sharing your genes, one of the things, wait, let me scratch that and go back to this. You both mentioned financial cheating. Delasia, you mentioned like you going broke and your credit being ruined, and so did you, Miss Lorraine. You mentioned something along that line. One of the biggest forms of to me, low life part of cheating is this. When you had nothing and I believed in you, when everybody was saying that you were nothing, I believed in you. And you know what? I knew what the perfect gift was going to be for you. You mentioned you wanted to go to engineering school, but the tuition was too much to start. I saved my money and I gave you that as a gift for you to be able to go. Then you don't finish. And you spend money on someone else, and then you start talking to them about everything you're doing in this place that I funded for you. You start talking about all the excitement you first got in that class and the things that you're learning with someone else who had nothing to do with you getting there or is in your life. Or them saying, you know what, you're always there for me, when it's been you that's been there for them. That is emotional cheating beyond whatever. And then you take their money because they said, I could put my hope, my dreams on hold for a month or two while I get you started and rebuild. Because once you get okay, you'll have me too. Only to find out that, no, he'll leave you stranded without a shame in his body. Or she will too.
Right, financial because they're cheating, not looking for a partner. They're looking for a financier.
Repeat that because I actually talked before I heard you talk and I apologize.
That's because the person was never looking for a partner. They were looking for a financier.
Bingo.
Once they got, this is how they finance their lifestyles. We're getting back to infidelity. Infidelity means the betrayal of a trust. The willing breaking of a contract. Infidelity means there was a contract, a pledge to trust, to support, to build, as well as to love. We first have to find out what our definition of love is. We're not good with that. And then we also have to get good at learning how to effectively communicate. It shouldn't have taken that character's partner 10 interruptions of her life with her husband for her to set the boundaries. We have to say, if we know that we are not comfortable with something, it's like, listen, I know you have this person here, but I'm telling you now, I am not comfortable. You say you're not comfortable, but do you say the reason why you're not comfortable to make that person understand? Because when you effectively communicate, it is the hope that your partner will say, you know what, she explained why she's not comfortable. Yeah, yo, I can't run up and help you like that. I can't do that. This is my partner. She means everything to me. I am not about to lose that. Or he means everything to me. You don't get to have an at-work wife. You don't get to have an at-work husband. I don't like those terms. Because it means you're getting something there that should be, you should be getting and giving at home. Nah, not cool. Not cool at all.
Nope. And there's a Tyler Perry series that, to me, the female partner in this actually helped to mature and grow. And it's a, to me, out of all of his series, I love that one. And it's kind of short-lived because it was a spinoff of another one. And since the main one went on hiatus for the season, they filled in the slots, you know, to keep you entertained. Now, I don't know if you watched this, but I believe you know it, Delasia, is Zatima, okay? If you ever get a chance, Miss Love, I would love for you to look at Zatima. From the beginning, it's been off from Sisters, because Fatima is a character from Sisters. And then... Mm-hmm. They made a spinoff of her, and Zach is also a character on Sisters. And it went from this little, he's good-looking, he's well-endowed pretty much for the ladies. He's known for, you know, his sexual prowess. He was pretty much a womanizer. But this woman was a woman, a real woman for him, not a loud-mouthed little girl that was just walking around who didn't know how to appreciate him, that put him down all the time. She took him with all his flaws and pretty much told him, I see your mess. I'm not going to grill you on stuff that came before my time, but what I will tell you is I demand to be respected, that I take no nonsense. I've been hurt before, and I'm telling you that after that, after I pulled myself together, nobody else is ever going to get in that spot to put me through it again, but I'm going to respect you, and I'll never emasculate you, but you will respect me and respect it. And if you're going to be in this, if you're telling me that you're in this, that we're in it together, that's what I'm going to hold you to. But if you watch, because it's only two seasons of the actual spinoff of Just Them Two, but if you look at Sisters, you could kind of see Sisters, you can kind of see where it came from. But I'm telling you, out of all the things that Tyler Perry writes, that one, they're like, she's like my hero, and like you, Miss Lowe. The strength, she could be like street and very classy. She got herself together, but she can break down. She can, like, and he is there where he says, no, it's you I love, and yes, I messed up, and I'm going to say I messed up, but I really want to change. And you could see it wasn't lip talk. It wasn't just because you know, this is my main lady, and I don't want to lose her, so I got to say what I got to say to keep her there. Uh-uh. This is the man that says, I want to change everything that was wrong for her. She makes me a better me, and I want to be better for her and for me. That way, even though I'm doing it for her, I also can stand along in my own achievements. That is something that I'm trying to explain and say, that if that is the way it could happen, through all the ups and downs, I got your back, but I'm not going to take this. I got you. I'm going to support you, but this is unacceptable. And if you do this again, then any changes you need to make, you're going to do it without me. And that's it. And you won't see me. You're not going to get the benefit of everything I have to offer while you're not even trying to make an attempt to respect and appreciate what I'm bringing while I'm uplifting you, regardless of what I have to take to do it. That is something that I'm telling you right now is I love. And I believe that if everybody was in a relationship like that, I don't think infidelity would be an issue. And the reason why this is something that this particular series I look at is because Zach used to be the neighborhood player, the girls that he no longer wants, that he would never say no to, but now he's not into that anymore. That's not fulfilling. She is. They tried everything to break them up, to bring them down, to mess up her security, to make him feel that she was doing something behind his back. His brothers, his you know, buddy brothers, not blood brothers, were like, nah, man, you don't even hang out with us no more. Meanwhile, one of them is married and cheating on his wife, and the other one's single. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, you're kind of you're kind of like, you know, whipped there. You're kind of this. He's like, well, if I'm whipped, then I'm whipped. But I'm telling you right now, I'm okay with my manhood, but I love her. And they couldn't take that. So they did everything that they could to try to interfere. And this is what I'm saying, that this couple had to, you know, endure and go through. But by the last of that second season of their spinoff, my God, the growth that you see, that is, it's anything worth having is that hard work. Mm-hmm. But if you got two people that are in there that's saying, no matter what I see around me, yeah, I think she's cute. Yeah, I think he's handsome. Yep. You think that if I had a dude, you know, if I'm with somebody, that when I look at Denzel Washington, I'm not going to gaggle and say how gorgeous he is to me? You get it?
I hear you. I hear you.
And if he looked at, you know, I don't know who's the person. Well, Angela Bassett to me is gorgeous. If somebody said, oh, yeah, Angela. If we sit in and watching the movie, I'm gonna be like, oh, okay. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, so you're going to look at Angela Bassett right in front of me, huh? How stupid is that? But if he has a woman and she has a man that would do that, there's to a point you can come to a compromise. Like, okay, I won't drool over Denzel while you're here. I won't drool over, you know, Angie while you're here. You know, you can do that. And then you can laugh about how silly it is because you go, you really think I'm ever going to meet Angela Bassett? And if I did, do you think that she's going to give up Courtney B. Vance for me? You know what I'm saying? And then you could laugh about that and, you know, make little jokes or whatever, even if at first that person is a little upset. You could laugh and be like, oh, so you're pouting over a star I'm never going to meet? Oh, okay. All right. I won't drool over them while you're here. You could turn that type of thing into a joke where it's about mm-hmm. us and it's our fun. And that person's insecurities will go away. Or could at least be under control. That's my opinion. So now I'm going to ask you, Ms. Lowe, do you agree? And then you, followed by you, Mr. Laser.
It's very hard. That's a tough one. Because I'm answering this with 58 years of experience of life. Yeah, it's... We all have that. All bets are off. Like if I see Don Cheadle coming, y'all might think exactly your thing. But I'm a slut for smart and witty, and he is all of those things. And I tell my partners, look, if Don Cheadle is coming, all bets are off. Okay, it'll be for a night, but all bets are off. Yeah, and they're like, yeah, the same thing for me. If I see Halle Berry, you know, you kick to the curb for the night. Like, yeah, no, not a problem. Because we all have our lusts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But even so, if you're committed, and not just committed physically, but committed spiritually, that other person, as much as you lust after them, ain't going to have the appeal. You ain't going to want to step outside.
Mm-hmm.
You're really not. Because
yep.
What you got is so sweet. It really is. And plus, I don't know where the other person's been dibbing or dabbing, and I ain't about to get my soul all jacked up with all the souls that are messed up with you, and we do that. You're like, no, I don't know what you're bringing to me.
And not only that, like a celebrity of that sort is like, it really is, even if you actually met them, first of all, most of it is customer service because you are their fan. Secondly, how fulfilling a life could you have? Yes, he's rich or she's rich, but really you have no privacy. You are under scrutiny. The tabloids could say any little thing about the slightest gesture and make your life a living hell. You have to deal with the fact that they have some real fans out there who think that they are married to these people, and if they see you in the way, you're a target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. And not only that, they don't have any investment in you as the one you've been with. So to give up, you know, listen, I'll go to a concert and, you know, dream and do whatever, but then go home and smile about it.
You know, it's funny. For my 45th birthday, I went to see Maxwell in concert. You know who Maxwell is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's all our baby daddy. But went to the concert, and I went with my boyfriend, and the MC told all the men in the audience, he said, listen, she's here swooning with Maxwell, but she's going to go home with you. If you play your cards right, fellas, it's free, pretty kitty, for a year with no headache.
You know what? Every man hated Joe for the things mm-hmm. he said, because half of them could relate to it or felt like maybe they, you know, that they had to step up their game. One of the things that I remember, like my little sister's ex-husband, he couldn't stand the song Things Your Man Won't Do. Every time she played it, and she used to play it with a smirk because she knew he would react, he would get up, turn that off. You know, like, please turn that off, you know? Why? Because this guy, and the thing is that he has a great voice. So it's like, you're saying things your man won't do. So you're feeling uprooted because a singer who she'll never meet is swooning to what's supposed to be a love song. If you were smart, like Maxwell said, you would take the free foreplay pretty much and go do what you got to do, you know? That was it. So, DeLaysia, I'm going to ask you the same. If somebody, you know, like if you see that the person that you're with is uncomfortable by something, even if you're doing something that, you know, it appears one way, but you really have no desire at all whatsoever to be doing what your actions look like you're doing, and that person is upset with it, even if it seems trivial, do you think that they could compromise or improvise for the sake of the relationship? Or do you think the other person is being too much? So what do you think?
As Lorraine said, yes, there are, even me, there are some people that, you know, you just know, like, hey, this guy, he's the one. I just know that, you know, if we was to ever meet, you know, this is the guy. But in a sense, turn around and be like, I'm not sacrificing anything that I have at home. He's nice to, he's eye candy. We can all look, but don't touch. He's perfect eye candy. But mm-hmm. I won't sacrifice what I have, perfect or not, at home with my partner. Now, and like Katie said, if, you know, we're watching a movie and the partner is like, oh, well, I don't want you looking at him like that, then that's a bit much because it's television. Everybody's looking. But, you know, if you don't want me to say it out loud, I'll think it. I'll respect you enough not to say it out loud. But, you know, it's both ways. It's both ways. If your partner has a big issue on, I don't want you looking at him, girl, just don't say it. You can look because you're not going to touch what you shouldn't touch. But
even you can't stop what they see or what they feel. And not for nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Biology is biology. So there are certain things your body is intended to do involuntarily based on certain stimulations and triggers. And it doesn't mean that person was doing something with the thing that triggered them. You understand? So it's like, listen, guys, if they see a woman that walked out and she's got, you know, biker shorts with high heels and her buttocks are sticking out, or she's got some cleavage showing, naturally they may get a physical reaction. Now, if they walk over to that person, try to get their number to hook up later, we got an issue. Okay?
Now, you know, that was going to be my next question. Would you women feel, you know, if you're walking down the street and, you know, they look back a little bit, is that cheating? Is that disrespectful?
It would be disrespectful if they turned around and started ogling, I think. You know, or listen,
googling,
turning around, yeah, I think it's disrespectful. I think turning around is disrespectful. You can't help what's coming at you in that direction, and you could think it, and naturally we women automatically will turn and look at our person. But I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, you shouldn't look on what you're looking at. No, but if you turn around while you walk with me, we have an issue, because that's doing a bit much. There was one other person, one other thing. Oh, God, it'll come to me. Senior moment I'm having right now. But honestly, there are things I think, listen, like we, like the celebrity situation. I will tell you this. I was dating someone briefly. I really thought that was going to go somewhere. But, you know, the problem with him was that images to people, you know, other people's view of him you know, being in control and being the Don and being the Gotti of the hood or whatever mattered to him more than him being true to his feelings with someone that he actually finally felt he could relate to. So he kind of spoiled the dating thing quite early in the game. You know, my thing was this. Everybody came to party with him because he tried to impress people by acting like he was the Noriega of the hood clubs, you know. He bought all the drinks, everybody knew him, he had rapport, all great and well. Now, when he got with me, I definitely knew that everybody was going to question, who is this person? I'm not ugly, or, you know, and I didn't walk around with my, you know, like showing off or whatever. I was pretty confident standing with myself, and I could respect that he had to go be host or whatever. Now, the situation was this. We made a joke out of something because, I would recommend this to couples. If you know that your husband or your man is fine, you know that women are going to look and try. If you know you got a hot man, you know women are going to, you know you got a hot girl, you know men are going to look and try. And since we're now in the LGBT community, you know, open awareness and all that mm-hmm. stuff, you might get a few of them on those sides that'll try something. You're not exempt from you know, following rules and respecting people. So my thing is, rather than you try to take a bat and swing them off, walk up and kiss your man or kiss your woman right in front of them and be like, you okay, baby? All right, I got to go take care of this. I'll be right back for you. So that everybody can look and want but can't touch. And that's been established. There's no issues there. I used to have fun with it, honestly. I'd be like, I know what you want. You can't have it. It's mine. I got to go. See you later. And I'm not even mad about it. Yup, he looks good, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. Let me tell you something. Whatever is being done in the dark will come to light. If you sit around trying to stop something that you can't control, that's going to put stress on you and it's going to make you feel worse about feeling like you're a failure. That's one thing. However, there are certain things that are right in your face that you can A, not accept from your partner, B, stop before anybody can infiltrate, like I spoke about the Blue Bloods episode, and like you said, it shouldn't even gotten to that point, Lorraine, because he'd been married with her for years. They were high school sweethearts. So if anything, he should be able to understand his wife without even saying a word. That's the type of connection that they had, you know? But every now and then, you got to teach him. So every now and then, you got to say it out loud. Even though somebody loves you, you do know that every now and then, verbal confirmation or verbal affirmation helps. You know, so yeah, every now and then, you know, refresh the pot, you know. But
yeah. You
said something very important. It takes a lot of work to keep a relationship working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. hard enough. You don't need floozies, whoozies, and wannabe players trying to make that hard enough already. But the person that you're with has to be on board through that. Like that couple I spoke about that ran across the street, arguing with each other and don't care who's around, dare any one of them to come into the mix of that and say anything to either of them. You understand? That type of it. This is it. This is us. This is who we are. You know, and I don't mean be crazy and disrespectful, but then come back together. That's some crazy stuff. I don't mean be addicted to crazy and insane, because that's who we are. I'm saying, you know, be wild. Like you said, remember how we were boyfriend and girlfriend before we were husband and wife and before we were husband and wife to parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, as parents. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I made the mistake as a young mother thinking if I didn't do something that was associated to remembering I'm a woman first, I was a bad mm-hmm. mother. If I did anything that was separate from my kids, I thought I was being a bad mother. I really did. If I can't go to the movies without my children, then I can't go see that movie. And shame on you for going and needing a babysitter. Boy, mm-hmm. if I could tell my younger self what I know now.
Mm-hmm. Rule the world.
you know?
I have to turn in. I have to be at the office for 7 tomorrow. So,
Miss Lo, I love you, Miss Lorraine. And I thank
love
you for everything. And believe me,
Asia,
there's only 10 minutes left
you.
Anyway. But you guys...
Oh, yes. It was wonderful speaking with you tonight, Lorraine.
You are wisdom and still fresh and hip and spiritual and substantial and qualitative. And when I tell you, all those things makes you my hero. And by the way, the ice cream maker is working wonderful. I think about you all the time. But thank you for your input. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for everything. I love you.
Love you too. Y'all be well. Innumerable blessings on your head, okay?
Thank you. And kiss Miss Angie for
thank
me, okay?
You.
Will do. Have a good night, y'all.
Good night, my love. Okay, to you, Miss Asia, you are amazing. And I'm telling you, I hope that some things too, you know, we things that we put out, because we kind of put out stuff and then actually hear it in another direction and be like, wait a minute, that is kind of cool. I'm going to try that again. All of us bringing in here, you know, let's bring it, let's take back some stuff out there too. So now we've got 9 minutes. And actually we have 6 minutes, my bad. So here's the deal. I'm going to say this. I'm going to have you say some final words, but cheating damages more than just the ego, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm saying this for women as well, because when a man is cheated on, if he's a good, faithful man up front, he gets it hard too. And then you have made another man be bitter or be, you know, hesitant to be the good man that he is to women who actually want and deserve him. So that is the situation. But cheating damages more than the ego. Cheating damages trust. It metastasizes to the fact that our sacred barrier has been breached. It causes even your children to feel like you cheated because they weren't good enough. You know, think about that when the gratification for the moment or the fantasy in your head, you know, needed to be filled. Sex is not the only thing that hurts. The breach of intimacy and security hurts. The emotional devaluing of, like I said, our castle, our thing. If you say those things that got me to you, you to everybody else, how special was it? The tenderness, the gravitational pull that everybody, that you have to other people rather than giving it to the one you're supposed to love is an issue. Why trust other people with your intimate thoughts, your ideas, your desires, your career goals, you know, your inadequacies, the feeling of inadequacy to other people when your partner is right there waiting for you to give all that to them? Think about that, because that is something that is above and beyond repair. Oftentimes, and more likely than not, your family and your relationship does not survive the infidelity. But it's not because of the physical aspect as much as it is after you could forget. You know, you can put out of your head if you decide to reconcile and you really are making it work and you really are sincerely learning from the mistake. You know, a person that's been cheated on after getting over can forget. Not forget, but get past the physical aspect. It's the other stuff that's harder to repair because a lot of trust was broken. Trust is not so easily earned, but it's much harder to repair. So think about that. So your final thoughts, Miss Asia, before we cut out to the exit here.
What you just said was perfect, was a perfect verbal explanation of what cheating can do to a person. It can even go as far as leading depression, anxiety, you know, or being on, you know, walking on eggshells. Is this person going to do it again? Like, you know, then the insecurities start. So as you said, trust is easy to start off with, but once it's damaged, it is so hard to repair. It may be fixed, but it's going to be a long process. So just be mindful of, you know, the things that you men and women do when you are in a committed relationship. If you're in a marriage, you're one-on-one with a person for several months, just be mindful. If you wouldn't want to do it, if you wouldn't want your other person to do it, just don't do it.
And I thank you for that. And I will definitely say once trust is repaired, it's still never the same again. Because even if you opted to trust that person again, you'll always remember what broke it in the first place. And then there'll be moments that if that person did something remotely close to what led to you discovering the infidelity, or if they're not doing something quick enough, you know, to respond to you or something, it's going to trigger the fact that, oh, what if he's doing that again? Or what if she's out there with that person again? Or what if she's, you know,